The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, in the Gospel this morning, we're told in the very opening lines that the lawyer, he was a scholar of the law, who asked Jesus the question, did not ask him because he was genuinely looking for information or wanted to be a much better person, but in order to trap Jesus. And at that time, in the Jewish law, there was something like 631 or 632 different laws or commandments or rules, or whatever you might like to call them. And so he was really putting Jesus to the test. And Jesus very succinctly and gave him a wonderful answer. But it wasn't something new that Jesus taught them, because long, long before Jesus' time, there was a famous rabbi who was asked, could he recite the law of the Lord while standing on one leg? The whole 631 or 32 commandments. And he said, "Yes, I can." And so he stood on one leg, and he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself." And that's how he did that. Now, loving God. I think most of us grew up with the idea, I did, and I think a lot of you are of the age and even younger, we grew up with the idea of a monarchical God, sort of a pharaoh, sitting on top of a high pyramid, looking down upon us. You're never going to love God if that's the picture or the image you have in your mind. So you need to have the correct image in your mind. And the way you do that is you begin with three and end with one. Begin with the three. God is a Trinity. Three persons, one God. God is one and three. Now, that's a very interesting thing to say, because everything in the world is part of God. God, somebody said, Christ is everything and in everything. And the basic structure of the universe is the atom. And the atom comprises of neutron, electron, and proton. And what gives us the energy is the relationship between the three. Now, God is only a word. So you can use any word you want for God. Allah, higher power, Yahweh, doesn't make any difference. God is more, the word is more a verb than a noun. Because God is in continual relationship. In a flow is a nice word to use. God the Father's love flowing towards the Son, towards Jesus, and Jesus' love flowing towards the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit receiving and giving that love back to Jesus, back to God, and around it goes. It's a water wheel of love, which is a lovely way of describing God. God is a water wheel of love. I think that's a beautiful way of describing God. And part of that water wheel are you and I. We are in the flow. We're in a river, flowing, if you look at it like that. And how do you really love God? God, we're told, is a mystery. He's unknowable. And St. John at the Cross said, you can only get to know God through love. You can go to all the schools of theology, read all the scholastic books you want, theological books, you'll never get to know God, only through love. God is love. Now, here's the problem. My love of God is not the most important thing in my life, nor should it be the most important thing in your life. The most important thing in our lives is not our love for God, but God's love for us. And that's where most people have a problem. I come across that time and time again in confession. I say to people, look, do you really believe, do you really accept that God loves you as you are? And I get the answer very often, well, how could he love somebody like me? I'm a sinner, or I'm bad, or I have all kinds of faults, and I can have all kinds of failings. Well, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't love you. But God loves you as you are. Now, that, when you get that, when you accept that, not in the head, but in your heart, it changes your whole life. Then it's a question of surrender. You fall into the love of God. You surrender to the love of God. And when you surrender to the love of God, then you're in the flow. You're in the flow, and the flow is giving, receiving, giving, receiving, a continual flow. And then when you realize that, when I look at you and I see somebody God loves absolutely, how then could I not love you? Huh? You see how that changes? And that's where we got to begin. That's how we got to see. Don't begin with, I've got to love God, because if I don't, God doesn't love me. Oh, that's terrible, terrible theology. You got to begin the other way. I want you, look at the cross. Look. Look at the cross. Look. What do you see? What do you see? You don't have to answer out loud. What do you see? What do you see? When I look at the cross, I see absolute love. Absolute love. Nothing else. Absolute love. Do you see anything else? I see also vulnerability. Our God is a vulnerable God. Because you can't love without making yourself vulnerable. Love hurts. You know that. Look again. It might be difficult, but look. Vulnerability. There are different ways of spelling love. Sometimes love is, these days, is demeaned, the very word. Sometimes it's spelled L-U-V. Puppy love. Kids love. Sometimes it's L-O-V-E, nice, romantic, candlelight dinners and so on. But there's only one real way of spelling love. And what is that? S-A-C-R-I-F-I-C-E. Sacrifice. Love involves sacrifice. When you love, it costs. You got to leave yourself vulnerable. If you're continually guarding yourself, then don't fool yourself. There's not real love. So, what is Jesus saying to you on the cross? In simple, simple words. I love you. I love you. So if you stand,